Toes.
His name is Robert.
Robert, what, let me see it. Let me see.
Look in the show notes. It's on your page.
Guillaume? Guillaume?
Guillaume?
Hang on.
Are we reading too much into it? What's up, guys? Welcome to Dapper Shark Podcast episode spooky!
Okay, but actually, what episode is it?
Like 75. 70...
That's the golden silver anniversary.
Golden silver anniversary.
I don't remember. I think 75 is supposed to be something, but diamond? No.
It's a multiple of 25. Yeah. Is that what you're looking for? It's also a multiple of 5. And 3. Should we go over more multiples? Kids, today we're going over our times tables. Anyway, it's Halloween. You guys are getting, like, candy and shit. You probably don't give a shit about our multiples, so let's just get right the hell into it. Spooky. Say something spooky, quick.
So, do you want to start with...
I know what I want to start with.
Go ahead.
We're going to start with spooky tales. The first spooky tale. EA is killing again!
Again?
Yes.
Man, they're serial at this point.
Right? So, a whole bunch of fans of their old games decided to make this organization called the Revive Network, and you can guess what they were meant to do. Bring back and make playable again old games that were taken off by EA, the market.
Okay.
And they got shut down again.
I love how you had to go again.
Yeah, because it's the second time. So basically EA's like, well, we don't want them to think that, you know, we're being misrepresented here.
I mean, don't take games off if you don't want to be misrepresented. You know what that means? They're representing you. Not giving the consumers what they want.
Yeah. Ugh.
So don't if you don't want to be represented as shitty.
What you mean to say is, we want you to play our new games, not these old ones that were actually good without microtransactions.
You can play. There's nothing wrong with playing old games. You're not gonna hit your older market. You're just gonna alienate them.
Also, some of these old games that you re-killed, Your shotgun approach to taking out the Revive Network actually had microtransactions in them at one point, so you totally could have kept them running.
Bring them back.
I mean, obviously there's a demand for it. If there were enough people to form a fucking organization to pay for servers to run the fucking games...
All you need is a really tiny server. Like, you're a fucking behemoth of a company. Yeah, the behemoth.
You're a whale, which you so affectionately call people who spend lots of money for you.
You are a huge company. You can afford to keep one or two little servers running for people like John.
Like me? I don't play these games.
There's probably a game out there that you would play.
Look, they... Okay, so I've kind of got mixed feelings about this, but they brought back Star Wars Battlefront 2 just before Star Wars Battlefront 2 released, which was really weird. But I'm actually really excited, and I've been playing it off and on, and it's still just as fucking good as I remember. It has all the same bugs that I remember, too. But, it was kind of weird to me that they even did that, and I think Disney was like, hey, you know that Star Wars contract that you got with us? You better make it so all the Star Wars games are playable. Because if you don't, that contract, we're going to rip it up. And if you think you have lawyers, EA, we're Disney.
Surprised that Disney hasn't acquired EA. Can you imagine how awful that would be?
No, please don't do that.
To be fair.
Actually, they would probably be better
for their employees. I was going to say, yeah. Because Disney, I mean, as far as shit companies go, Disney's less.
I mean, they're kind of fucking scary.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, yeah, I guess they are not as bad as other companies that we've listed, Activision. And spooky news.
There's more spooky news?
Yeah.
Is that the guy who died?
Just fucking spoil it, why don't you?
I mean, he died.
Yes.
I'm very sad for him and his family.
Robert Guillemain,
There's no N.
Guillemain. Look, I can't pronounce his name. Guillaume. That's...
Bob.
Bob Guillaume.
Well, that wasn't the part you couldn't pronounce!
His fucking... His fucking... role.
I said Bob.
I'm trying to tell people who he is.
Didn't have to pronounce his last name. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry. Okay.
Look, he was Eli Vance in Half-Life 2, and he was Rafiki in Lion King. And if you don't know who I'm talking about still, go fucking look him up, because I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name. What I can pronounce is him dead.
Oh. Jonathan! That's awful.
Okay, it is awful. He was a great voice actor. He was a stand-up guy.
But he was 89 years old.
He was 89. He lived a full life.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he got to go out.
And a successful. Like, he had some great voices.
Oh, yeah. And some very, very memorable lines. I mean, I still occasionally think, Ducking has returned. For no reason. Just out of the blue.
It's usually when I walk through the door after work.
Yeah, that's why. Anyway... I also heard some people being like, this is just another reason why Half-Life 3 can't come out. I'm like, first of all, fuck you, because that's really insensitive. Also, you clearly didn't play Episode 2, because you'd know that Eli Vance is... spoilers.
Also, I mean, they can kill anybody off. There's no... like, they could kill off fucking Gordon Freeman.
They already did.
I mean...
kinda. Not Gordon. Eli.
Yeah.
He dies.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Done.
It's a fucking 10-year-old game. Get over it.
I was gonna say, if you haven't played it by now, you deserve spoilers. I still need to beat it. But.
Yeah.
Let's move on to another not spooky topic. That little new Harvest Moon. Really cute looking.
That's Harvest Moon.
Yeah, I know.
It's literally Harvest Moon.
That little new Harvest Moon?
Yeah.
Is what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming to Steam.
Okay.
Next month.
The PC Gamer review, like, just the under, the subline?
I'll be honest.
This official Harvest Moon game is due, but do we want it?
I cite...
Yes, we fucking want it!
I cite my sources. That's the only reason why I include PC Gamer articles ever anymore. I think their quality of writing has gone down considerably. I like how this has become more about PC Gamer and less about Harvest Moon. Harvest Moon's coming to PC.
It's coming to
People
PC.
People should be super happy about it.
And it's coming in 2018 to the Switch, which I'm really pumped about.
I mean, we're going to have it for the PC already.
But I'm going to get it for the Switch. I still want to get Stardew for the Switch. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah, because I like...
So we could not play together there, too?
I want to eat. Well, online, first of all. Fucking online. I want to vamp about the Switch, and I want to bitch about fucking Chuckle Nut and fucking fucking Concerned Ape, and fuck that anyway. But I'm going to vamp about the Switch at least, but that's for different time. And yeah, that little Harvest Moon, I watched the video, and it's real cute. It's definitely more Harvest Moon-y as opposed, like, Stardew wanted it to feel very different. And this feels like a Harvest Moon game. A lot more, like, linear looking, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where everything... maybe it's just an aesthetic thing, but where everything is its own separate little cell, and nothing is, like, overlaps. The trees do a little bit, but it's all very, like, singular aesthetically. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That's something that Harvest Moon's kind of known
for. It's Harvest Noon. Anyway. And no, I know, that's why it feels the most like a Harvest Moon game. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I enjoy it.
I
say it. Don't you say it.
I want to say this. I have a soft spot in my heart for Harvest Moon. In particular. But I'm more excited for that game that's coming out from Square
the little,
Enix.
Yeah! That looks so goddamn cute.
It's re-something.
Re-Legend? Yeah, Re-Legend, that's what it is. Because I remember Tom told me about it.
Wait, he told you about it after we already knew?
Oh god, yeah, but Tom... Okay, I guess he reminded me about it.
Okay, fair enough.
What was I going to say about it? Oh, yeah, the new Harvest Moon, though. It looks really cute.
It looks very Harvest Moon-y.
It does.
It is going to be on the PC, which is a good selling point.
And it's set for like a couple months from now.
No, it's next month.
A couple weeks from now is what I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
A couple far less delineation of time. I want to know when it's going to come out for Switch, because that's still... I don't know. I'm going to buy it for Switch. Can I vamp about the Switch? over the last couple of weeks.
Only if I can talk about Nintendo fans.
I adore this little console. I'm so glad we got it. It is by far the superior console because I fuck PlayStation.
Because she can play it in bed and on the go. That's the only reason why she likes it.
Oh god, yeah. Plus Zelda's wonderful.
Also, it's getting Wolfenstein the New Order on it.
Which is so fucking cool!
Motherfucking Doom!
Yeah, it's so cool. It isn't gonna be as superior a version as the PC. I can't wait to play that. I'm gonna play it on your computer. Sorry.
But why?
Because I don't have it. I'm not paying for it.
Doom?
Yeah.
Oh.
We can buy it on the Switch, but I still want to experience it beautifully. So.
Okay.
I guess, okay.
Fair enough.
I think I just need, like, I'll play on the computer a lot more, because school. But my favorite part is that I can fall asleep with the Switch. I can't fall asleep at my desk.
That's true. You know, something I actually have liked about the Switch is usually while I'm editing this podcast, I can be playing Zelda or something and just kind of like spacebar. I'm like, oh shit, I said something stupid. Let's cut that out. Oh, James said something stupid. Amplify.
Oh, Emily made a really ugly sound.
Let's make that louder.
Yeah.
Oops.
It's really dumb, but I like propping up the Switch on a pillow and then laying like arms down, like full on plank, and like looking up at it with my chin on a pillow.
Like penguin getting ready to slide down.
Exactly, but I can have the controllers one in each hand, and it's perfect. So it's just like maximum comfort, and that's why I fall asleep with the Switch. But I have that maternity pillow, even though I've never been pregnant. I got this maternity pillow. And it's really great to sleep with because it's like sleeping in a little nest. I highly recommend it. It
takes up so much fucking space on
the
bed.
It really does. Honey, move over. I am over as far as I can get.
Move the pillow!
The goddamn pillow off. It's over as far as it can get, John! We don't need a dog. I have a pillow to take up the bed.
So on a semi-related note, not to pillows, but the Switch, Mario Odyssey came out. And
we got it! It came out on, like, we got it delivered in the mail. That day.
That was pretty cool.
On release day.
Mailman screwed up. But still, it got to us eventually.
You know, it's a huge beef of mine with mail delivery because UPS and FedEx both do it where when it's out for delivery, a lot of the time, because a guy...
They'll say it's delivered.
Well, they have to go up and make a loop. So regardless of whether it's actually been delivered or not, the guy or the person who's delivering has to go all the way up, make his loop, and then come back in a certain amount of time. It's the same kind of bullshit, the time like kind of things, where they make you pull up in a drive-thru, well, can you pull up and we'll bring it out? No, I won't fucking pull up. If you're being slow and your timer says you need to have, like, what, 14 seconds to pass it out? If it's not 14 seconds, I'm gonna fucking sit here. There's no reason to pull up if you're trying to keep your numbers up. And I get it, these poor fast food workers already have a hard enough job, but it's the same kind of bullshit. Deliver your fucking product. Just do your job. It doesn't matter if you lose your fast food job. Anyway, sorry, I got some feelings. Go ahead on about Mario
Jesus
Odyssey.
Christ.
Sorry.
Man, that was a side trip. I don't even know where to begin now.
You can cut that. Mario Odyssey.
Okay, so Mario Odyssey.
I'm going to play it after the podcast.
I've been enjoying the game. I really, truly have. It's a good Mario game.
But
I haven't felt like this Mario type of game had existed since Sunshine. And honestly, I think it kind of plays towards Sunshine and 64 quite a bit while refining some of the controls and, like, taking some cues from the Galaxy games.
Out of all of those, I had only played 64, so I am interested to see if Sunshine and Galaxy will come out for the Switch.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, it would.
That said,
and it's not like Nintendo has to buy a dev kit, so they should just do it.
I had this thought internally.
And now you're having it externally.
And now I'm having it externally. I think I actually may have mentioned it to you at one point. I think if I had to compare the two games together...
Which ones?
Despite its short length, I think A Hat in Time is still probably the superior game when comparing Super Mario Odyssey and A Hat in Time.
To be honest, I find the indie games a lot of the times are superior games, but...
I mean, Mario Odyssey is a great game. I'm really, truly enjoying it. It's beautiful. It's got that nostalgia to it as well that keeps playing on my sensibilities, so I keep going back to it. But I noticed I'm putting it down. and taking a break from it.
Which is hard, because Hat in Time, you beat that. Like, yeah, it was pretty quick.
I didn't stop playing that game. But you enjoyed
every goddamn minute. Like, you were playing it in the morning when I left, and then I came back from work, and you were still playing it. And then the next day, same thing. I was like, so how far are you? I'm at the last boss. I haven't slept in 8 hours. Which is weird for John, but...
What do you mean it's weird for... I have such a weird sleep schedule.
Yeah, I know. It's like nap, 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 and then you pretty much like sleep in 4 hour stints. Like three times a day.
3 hours, but yeah.
Even so.
Yeah.
It's more than some people get. I don't know, I just get 10 hours at a time.
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird to me, because I was thinking, man, I'm really enjoying this, but I'm going to go do something else now. And I didn't get that feeling with A Hat in Time. I kept wanting more and more and more.
Do you think it's something that, like, with the podcast, you'll be able to do, like, while you're waiting for something? Like, say we're at an appointment or something, and I go in and you can't for whatever reason?
Well, I will say this. I think as a completionist game, it's going to be pretty fun. I confirmed it now. There's over 500 collectibles. Not counting the currency that you can collect, which is totally different.
I'm sorry, that's too goddamn many.
But that's the thing, like, it seems like they dispense some, like, Pez. There's not really...
Well, like the fucking Koroks!
Sometimes there's not any effort to put into them. Well, the Koroks, at least sometimes there's a challenge to them.
I think I'm gonna needle felt a Korok this weekend.
That could be fun.
They're just cute and brown and cute and green and tiny.
But the moons are just fucking everywhere.
Yeah, the moons. I mean, even just watching you play that city level, the new Dunk City or whatever.
I quite enjoyed that level. That was a fun level.
Just how many you could find. I mean, seriously, I was like, oh, you found another one? They're plentiful. And I think it's just because somebody spent a lot of time making them look really pretty. Like, look at how good this moon looks. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of started throwing them in there because, I don't know, the person who made the moon was dating the person who put them in there or something.
There was kind of a really cool fourth wall break that was really subtly done, and I really enjoyed it. But it's the only instance of, like, that type of humor in the game, and I was expecting more. There's this person in New Donk City. I won't spoil where it is, but I am going to spoil one of the lines they have. No.
Oh.
One of the guys at a coffee table somewhere in the city starts talking about a couple of things, and one of the lines that he had was, you ever wonder where that music's coming from?
That's right! Oh my god.
It just made me laugh. Because, yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Gameplay mechanics-wise, it's really solid. I like being able to take over enemies with your hat, and if they're wearing a hat, they have a defense against your attack. So it's kind of like another game, actually. There was a game where if they were wearing hats, they had, like, an extra hit point. Oh, it's fucking Angry Birds.
Was it? Oh. Which might have not been a great game, but goddamn, it was a successful game.
Yeah. But basically, anything wearing a hat has one hit on top of them. You could jump on them and kill them one hit, but if you hit them with a hat, their hat has to fall off first. And then if you hit them with a hat again, you can take over their body. And it's just about any enemy, with the exception of bosses. And that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You do have to take over some enemies to fight bosses, which adds a little bit more gameplay variety, and I really enjoyed that. There are tank enemies, which gives Mario, like, some shooter levels, which was fun.
There's so much opportunity for fun stuff like that. You know, like, just because you can take over tons of stuff. So if they do some kind of sequel or something like that, I mean, I think based on feedback like that, there's so many options for minigames.
It kind of feels like, I think I've just nailed down what the problem between this game and A Hat in Time is. Hat in Time, every time you got a timepiece, it feels like you've really genuinely earned it. They handcrafted this challenge for you. Like, I'm just thinking, like, one level in The Hat in Time is the murder on the Owl Express. And that was to get one collectible.
Yeah.
And that was, like, what, a 30-minute period of time?
Oh, easily. When we watched, was it Tom that we watched play?
Tom Fox, yeah.
I just feel like he didn't beat it, but just what we saw, I mean, he just got a little
chunk. Oh, he did. I cut you off so you wouldn't get spoilers.
Oh, well, then. but I don't know, just watching him play that part of it, I mean, I think it was like 30, 45 minutes maybe. That, yeah, he was bad at it, but
yeah,
he wasn't awful at it. It was just not good.
He did blatantly miss some very obvious things, which annoyed me. I guess I want more of a handcrafted experience rather than them just giving out moons. I've been told that you can actually unlock some levels by collecting more moons, which is good to hear. I don't know. I really like the idea of a handcrafted challenge, because the story missions, they have some pretty good moons. But just the ones that are out and collectible, some of them are cleverly hidden, but other ones are just like, they're literally out in the open. Or there's a shiny spot in the ground for you to ground pound, and it's like, oh, there's a moon there. Congrats. You fully explored this area.
Yeah.
And that's fine and everything. Like, collectibles in the game are good, but they should have a purpose.
Mm-hmm. I just think, when you say handcrafted, I just like the idea of handcrafted anything. Levels, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You already know, though.
I do.
Emotionally done with...
procedural randomly, generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
I understand that.
You feeling it? Are you finally starting to concede
that no.
It's not good?
Nope.
Usually? Okay.
No, I will concede that usually it is not good, but in those few instances where it is, it really works.
And that's the thing, if you can't make it, not even perfect, if you can't make it pretty good most of the time, don't fucking do it. But you know my feelings on that, sorry.
I get
all over it.
I guess I feel like Mario Odyssey is exactly hitting my expectations of what I wanted it to be.
Which is good, but if you had low-ish expectations, that's questionable.
No, I had high enough expectations that I tried to convince you to pre-order it, and then we did.
Yeah, because, I mean, to be honest, if I'm going to pre-order, I'm going to pre-order somewhere that they can ship it to me. Maybe not necessarily Amazon, but if they can ship it to me day of release,
mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Because in theory, it would get to the post office the night before. In theory, I could Mission Impossible my way in there and play it the day before.
Okay.
In theory.
I'm going to now talk about Nintendo fans briefly. And if you're a Nintendo fan, that's fine and everything. And you may not be included in this group, but I'm going to tell you about some fucking ridiculousness. Many people know that I like Jim Sterling. And I'm going to be...
What?
I actually enjoy Jim Sterling as a human being. I think he's real fucking sassy.
Yes.
That's... Not only that, I think he has kind of a pretty good character to him. That said, he is pretty harsh on games. Regularly. People said that he was really harsh on Breath of the Wild for giving it a 7 out of 10. Which, guys, that's a good game. That's a good game. That's an above-average game.
It's a solid 6 out of 7 that he gave it.
No, it's 7 out of 10.
6 out of 7.
6 out of 7. there was a Photoshop circulating that supposedly Jim Sterling had written a review for Mario Odyssey a day before the game even came out and gave it a 7 out of 10. And the internet fucking blew up at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that, I remember that debacle.
It's a bad game. He's really overly harsh on Nintendo games.
He didn't say it was a bad game. He said it was a 7 out of 10.
Well, this is about Mario Odyssey, love. The game that hadn't even come out yet. He didn't review it. Nintendo doesn't send
right! Because, yeah.
Nintendo doesn't send him review codes.
Yep.
Nobody sends him review codes anymore.
Because
he refuses.
Salty as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. He refuses to kowtow. He's like, no, I'm going to get the score I think it deserves.
I like that word.
Kowtow?
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, I mean, that's a valid read, because now he has to go out and buy the game, so he's not biased. Gerard fucking biased as shit.
Oh, poor Gerard.
And he can say as much as he wants. We know. Everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, buddy. Everybody knows. And that's fine. If he wants to do that, fucking whatever. He shouldn't have... If he didn't want to be associated with that, he shouldn't have taken the sponsorship.
That's true.
But he doesn't care, apparently.
So, again, though, Nintendo fans came out of the woodwork to go after Jim Sterling because of this fake Photoshop. Because he gave a 7 out of 10 to Zelda, they were saying, oh yeah, he just has this bias against Nintendo. And it's like, guys, he gave it a fair score. He knocked it down for things that I've experienced.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, like, 7 out of 10 isn't bad. That's... I mean, 70% would get you a C on a test, unless your professor's a dick.
You can't look at grading like that, though. Because that fucking letter grade thing, pass or fail, is really stupid.
I mean, you passed, and that's not necessarily flying colors, but...
When you're talking...
That's still worth playing.
That's the thing. When you're talking about 5 being average, you can't rate it on an A to Z scale.
You really can't, although grades don't go that
way. A to F, I know.
Yeah.
Well, there's no E either, so that's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's frustrating, and people suck.
It just really frustrates me because people, first of all, bought into it. Second of all, were stupid enough to not go check his fucking website to see if it was real.
That's what's weird. Third. Somebody should have seen that earlier.
People expected him to receive a review copy from Nintendo.
Which is even stupider.
When he has, again, kind of notoriously been harsh on their games.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. He should be.
You should be harsh on every game.
Tell us what's wrong about it. See if the good outweighs the bad. A lot of times it doesn't, but
if it
sometimes
does,
the bad isn't that bad.
Hell, Jim Sterling was lambasting Shadow of War, and he actually recently just gave it I thought it was pretty good. It's not as innovative as the first game was, but it's pretty good. It's competent. You know? Mm-hmm. And since he doesn't do... this is what got me the most. He doesn't do score-based reviews anymore. Specifically because he was tired of the bullshit that happened to him during Zelda.
Yup.
And people just jumped on this bandwagon because they were so rabid. They wanted to defend Nintendo with their hearts. You know, because believe in the heart of Nintendo. Guys, they just want your fucking money. You shouldn't have to defend someone like that in particular. If it was an indie studio, I can understand it maybe being your darling, because even I get a little bit defensive of poor indie studios that I like a lot.
Well, like the Behemoth. Like Leafy Games. And, yeah. Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, and there's, like, Chucklefish. Chucklefuck. I still want to believe, and with Concerned Ape, I still want to believe. So you do give them a little more leniency, because they're not necessarily struggling, but they're struggling more than EA.
Or yeah, they certainly are.
Blizz Division.
Yeah.
I don't like calling it Black Division. It's a little...
Look, I used to do it a lot more before it became more racially insensitive to call it Black Division.
It's Blizz Division. Or
It's Blizzard Activision, and there's no way to really make a good acronym out of that, so we'll just call it Money Machine.
Actigizzard. There's no G, but I like that better.
Speaking of them, that's a good segue. Guys, if you have missed the patent that Activision just put out, don't forget that they're also Blizzard, guys.
It was relatively sneaky.
They put out a patent so that they could use a form of microtransaction, what's the word, incentivizing? Based on...
Do you want to put that in plain speech?
Okay. Basically,
like, not that it's not clear-ish, but...
In order to make people want to buy their products in the game, their loot boxes, they have a system of matchmaking where they will match people who don't have cosmetic items with people who do have cosmetic items.
Which is a little sneaky. And that's... Why would they do that?
Well, it's to psychologically implore someone to buy loot boxes in the hopes of getting that particular skin.
Now, you know how you defeat that? Never buy anything! That's the thing, though. They're still gonna give shit to people for free. And that's the worst part. I see people with, like, cosmetics and things like paladins or... Paladins?
You mostly play paladins?
With things like Warframe. Microtransactions? Yeah, to a lesser extent, but that's the thing. I've only played it with you and Tristan.
Oh, fair enough.
That's the thing, though. I play good games without microtransactions, for the most part. But that's the thing. With Paladins, first of all, they put a lot of heart and soul into most of their reskins. They don't make you pay for...
Except for their color palette swaps.
They don't really make you pay for those, for the most part,
no,
though.
No, that's not real money. You're right.
It's just, yeah, it's in-game currency. That's, like, little things.
It's Monopoly money.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, for a game that I actually want to support, that doesn't fucking push it on you. If it looks genuinely cool, sure, I'll do it.
Well, not only that, they give you an opportunity to actually get them for free.
Yes, if you do those login bonuses, there are an appalling number of things, of games that don't let you get in-game currency for, like, consecutive logins. I can see, like, I'd love to see a game that every time, like, if you play a match a day, or if you play three matches a day, Paladins gives you some gold for your first, second, and third wins of the day, mm-hmm. which is interesting, because if you kind of suck a little, kind of like me, you want to get those wins of the day, because you get the fake, Monopoly money. But if you log in, I mean, even if you just log in, you get, you know, 25 magic dollars, you know?
Yay, magic dollars. So, the reason that was so bad that Activision did this, though, is not because it's scummy. It is scummy.
It is scummy, but...
But that's not why it's bad. If they actually receive a patent for this, that's going to make it so that other companies can't do this.
Which...
Companies who actually need that to make money.
Good and bad, but it's not like they're making microtransactions proprietary.
No, but that particular type of matchmaking is something that can be super useful to the entire industry.
That's not something that a lot of people... Like, okay, at this point, if they have a patent for it, more power to everybody else to do something not shitty.
I would love to see someone who actually needs it, like someone who's free to play, for example, who can actually get the money and doesn't charge $60 and then keep charging money after you already own the fucking game for content that is available in the fucking game. Fucking Activision. Not just Activision.
Did they patent the code or the concept? It was the concept. But you can't patent the code. If you do a pretty subtle difference, you might get slapped with a C&E, but...
No, they're patenting the concept of specifically matchmaking people deliberately based on their interests with people who own items. So if they decide, oh, hey, this person might be interested in a beret, they're going to match you with someone who has a beret. So you could be like, oh man, that's a cool looking beret. I now want that beret. How much is that beret?
You know, if another company would just quit picking at it. If another company, I mean, just really matched people with premium members or with people who owned anything, I think that'd be a good way to get around it. But at the same time, maybe just match people however the fuck you want.
Or maybe, because this is a gaming experience and it's actually more beneficial to the players if you do this, you should matchmake people based on their skill level.
Oh my god,
and not
John.
On how much money they're willing to put into your fucking game.
John, what the fuck? That's a brilliant idea.
Wow, what a unique concept that not a lot of games employ, including Paladins, which we were just singing the praises of. Paladins really needs to fucking work on that shit.
Yeah, because I've been playing with people way OP in casual mode. Like, granted, I suck a little, but I'm still pretty competent as a flanker. Dude, fucking need healing. You're a flank. Eat my asshole, buddy. Because I also play healers and I also play front.
Yeah, also,
I don't play damage.
If you're a flanker, there's a skill called kill to heal. If you kill things, like a flanker should be doing, you'll heal. Hey, look, you don't need healing.
No, you don't. There are a couple exceptions. Sorry to kind of tangent with this, but there are a couple exceptions where you can be up, like, pretty much shooting backwards. I feel like Eevee's one of those because you're so mobile.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a really competent frontliner, I don't mind popping down, like, off of my flank position. People
and getting down
don't much
front.
Care for it. But yeah, exactly, shooting behind the front so that he or she can do whatever they need to.
Mm-hmm.
Granted,
well,
I'm usually
stay alive.
With Eevee, she is outlandishly mobile. That's what I love about her, because I can, besides fucking Talus, who can, so OP, get across the map from anywhere.
Yeah.
Besides him, I feel like Eevee's one of the more mobile characters.
I agree.
If not the most. But there are others. Drogo's fucking Willow.
I think that Willow is way worse than Drogo's.
I think Willow should be erased from the game, but that's just me.
Okay,
she shouldn't.
So,
I like her when she's on my team.
I guess the takeaway here, guys, is that Activision keeps proving that they care more about money than they do about players.
They're
so
the Walmart of gaming. Guys, maybe not entirely, but...
Remember, these companies don't care about you as a person, they care about you as a wallet.
Which, yes, they want money. Yes, all every company
wants money.
Yeah, but don't fucking strong-arm people into getting money.
You can tell the difference between a company that wants money because they want to survive and sell products, and a company that's like, we already make money off of you, but also you have more money, and we notice that it's not ours.
Yeah. With that, I think we probably should take a break, because I have to pee really bad.
Oh, okay.
And I really want to do a second half, if that's okay.
That's fine.
I have a lot to say.
All right, guys, we're going to come back in the second half, and if you haven't heard it from us already, which I know you haven't, happy Halloween!
You said spoopy.
Yeah, it's spoopy. Yeah. But we haven't said happy Halloween.
Oh, happy Halloween.
And if you don't celebrate Halloween, then ignore what I said.
Then
don't
get happy down Hanukkah? Shape.
It's not Hanukkah.
Yeah, it's not going to be for a while.
All right, guys.
See you in a bit.
This is true.
What's up, guys? We're back. We're ending the smooshy parts.
It's not really smooshy. It's me calling you a butt, but not calling you a dick.
Dick butt. So, anyway, guys, we just got done watching a person.
A far superior YouTuber.
Yes. Reviewing Mario Odyssey. And
he had pretty much the same points as John, although probably earlier, but... Things like,
yeah, probably.
It didn't blow me out of the water, which I thought was funny, that it met his expectations without exceeding them.
He gave it an 8 out of 10, and I went and read the comment section, and people were just giving him tons of shit for it, which amused the hell out of me, because an 8 out of 10 is by no means a bad score.
Mm-hmm. That's a solid 6 out of 8? No.
Why would you...
It's a solid 2 out of 3.
No, because that's a 66%.
A solid 4 out of 5.
Look, guys, don't do that.
A 12 out of 13.
No, that's too high.
A 9 out of 11.
Why don't you just reduce it?
No.
Oh.
I can't.
It's a 4 out of 5. I mean, literally it is. So, guys, don't let your fandom of a company get in the way of your critical thought.
Gerard?
If you are going to review games. Okay?
Just look at it as objectively as humanly possible.
I kind of forgot. And the reason that we're still talking about Mario Odyssey is I did forget some things I wanted to say. This game probably has one of the most bearable water levels in any game.
Fucking water temples.
And understand that I'm saying that. And I hate water levels for more than one reason. I have a fear of the ocean. And the water levels in this game. Even the ocean level didn't bother me.
It's because it's so cartoony and cute.
Yeah.
You should be able to put a hat on the ocean.
Just the whole ocean?
Yeah.
I'm making waves.
What did the ocean say to the beach?
What?
Nothing. He just... water.
What did the ocean say to the beach?
What did the ocean say to the beach? My sea level is rapidly rising.
Why don't people
please do something about the ice cap?
This PSA brought to you by the Halloween episode.
Polar bears are rapidly dying.
That's because they watched Al Gore's special and they killed themselves out of boredom.
Interestingly, he came out with a book that was a sequel to his documentary. I don't remember.
That's not how sequels work.
No, it was, okay, a continuation of the documentary, a change in format, and the...
ancillary medium.
Yeah. But it is supposed to be really good. I actually saved an Audible credit so I could buy it. I just didn't have Wi-Fi at the time.
God, it's not Al Gore reading it, is it? Because
I don't know. I listened to Neil Gaiman's Norse Mythology. Very, very good if you have Audible, because Neil Gaiman narrates it. And it's very nice to hear a narrator read. You might have heard me say this before, but hearing a narrator read his own book, Douglas Adams, just, it's very true to the story, you know? Mm-hmm. It's exactly the way, pretty close to the way they intended it to be read.
That reminds me. I wanted to say something real quick, just because I think that it bears saying, and I will say this every couple of episodes probably, but this is going to be the point. If we ever repeat ourselves,
it's because I'm super forgetful.
There's a good reason to it as well. Like, sometimes we'll say, we mentioned this the other time, but also keep saying it. It's because there are new listeners every episode.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Yeah.
But that's fine. I like to have you, new listeners, and please keep listening. We like having you listen.
But if you do get annoyed at us retreading old thoughts, and you hear something another time, you're like, oh, here they go again. It's because there is someone who may not have heard that, and if we bring something up, we do have to explain it in its entirety. Every episode. Part. Because we cannot expect someone to go all the way back and listen to our catalog. One, because of the way that fucking Podomatic stores things, we actually don't have enough goddamn storage space, one which day, we're going to be rectifying.
I promise one day we're going to have the thing that we've been talking about. Shh.
Anyway, but another is, we want to bring you up to speed as quickly as possible, so we can continue having a conversation.
Because you guys might have forgotten. Not that you guys are as forgetful as me, but you guys might need to have a quick refresher, and I like...
Maybe you got distracted by your giant sandwich. Look, when I'm eating Jimmy John's sandwiches, not a sponsor, sometimes I tune out the world.
It was a big bowl of chili.
Because I have to focus on the fucking sandwich. It was
a big bowl of chili.
Big bowl of chili. Fucking Alex Jones, man.
That's a bad that could be my out for everything. Look, oh, Emily, what do these notes say on your work order? I don't know. I had a big bowl of chili for lunch.
Jesus Christ.
Honey, what was that argument we had a couple weeks ago?
They're your kids.
It was a big bowl of chili. It wasn't their names. It was the name of a teacher. But and regardless, like, you don't really have to know the name of your kid's, like, preschool teacher. Whatever. Just say, I don't fucking know, man. Like,
I had a big bowl of chili is not a good excuse for anything.
It's a good excuse, but maybe it's a good excuse for anything.
Also, I still think you should know your teacher's name. Your kid's teacher's name.
It was like a...
Up until you have, like, six to remember, you can remember one per year.
But he also, I don't think he has had full custody of his kids. So it's rough. I'm not defending him at all.
Anyway, I don't want to talk about him at all.
Fuck that guy, man.
Yeah. That guy can go fuck himself.
Can we have an Alex Jones episode? No, because I hate him.
Yes.
Can I have a 5-minute rant about Alex Jones that we upload to Podomatic where it's just me shouting the whole time? Like
he does?
Mike, Lorraine, please put in these earplugs. Please. Just, I'll come and tap you on the shoulder when I'm done.
Alright, so guys, next month, I'm not saying we're doing the Alex Jones episode, by the way, because we're not. But next month, we are going to be doing that serious episode we've been talking about. It just didn't work out this week because people keep getting fucking sick. If it's not me, it's Emily.
James,
if it's not
Haley,
Emily, it's...
Emily, John, everyone, River, I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, it's kind of that season, so we got sick. That kind of put us off a bit, and we're going to try to not be sick, hopefully next month, on Serious Podcast Day, because we do need everyone here with all their opinions in order to proceed, because I don't know if you guys have noticed enough, Emily and I tend to agree on most things.
So, take that with a grain of salt. Granted, there are many things. Honestly, the G2A thing, we really didn't agree on for a while.
Yeah.
I'm drifting toward John's direction, but...
Because they keep proving me right.
Well, yeah, and it's rough, but... Yeah, we do normally agree a lot, because we have lived together for 4 years. We hit our... Oh, you guys! We hit our 4th year anniversary on Thursday.
On the 26th.
I know.
Ah, good times.
It's so weird. Like, I've put up with your stupid ass for 4 years. You've put up with my lazy ass for 4 years.
I mean, scratch that, reverse it.
Oh, God, yeah. I also hit 2 months. You guys might not know this, but I have epilepsy, which fucking sucked for a while there. I mean, it still sucks, but I also hit 2 months seizure-free, which is a huge milestone. Since my diagnosis over a year ago, no, almost exactly a year ago, but I started having them about 5 months earlier. We haven't gone this long, right?
No.
Anyway, sorry to Bogart the podcast. Hijack? Sorry to talk a lot.
No, we're just talking about our lives now.
I'm really jazzed about it.
Normally, when Emily and I do a podcast episode, we don't do two episodes, or two parts, rather, because there's not a lot for us to talk about.
Yeah. But also, when I say I'm jazzed on my phone, it corrects it pretty frequently to jizzed, and I did that on the podcast fleep, where we all chat, and James got a kick out of that.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
I'm real jizzed about it, you guys. I hope my parents aren't listening.
I would be very surprised if they did.
My mom doesn't love me that much. She does. She just doesn't like good things. She doesn't like things.
Okay. Alright, so, let's see, what else do we have in the news? There was something else I wanted to cover.
Oh, can I talk about anime figures? They if you must. Released, I don't remember what con it was. I wonder if it wasn't when it, I don't know what fucking con it was. I just follow the Good Smile page on Facebook. And not only do they have the anniversary Miku, I don't remember what, Miku Hatsune.
From, in case people Miku don't
Hatsune,
know.
Like the Vocaloids, one of the originals, actually. They had, like, this rainbow anniversary edition that had this really beautiful paint job. What's up?
What happened to your Vocaloid poster?
It's in the bedroom. I haven't put it up yet. I really like it, but it's one of those, like, tacky silkscreen ones, and I like it a lot. I just don't have a space to put it, because I like the...
Because I won't let you put it on my wall?
Yeah. Because you're not in a Vocaloid. I kind of want to use it to cover something up. I could put it in the bathroom.
That wouldn't be tacky at all.
I would love to do that. But anyway, sorry, audio spike. But anyway, somebody submitted some... I don't know if it was like a normal person or if it was a true designer, but they submitted some concept art for a really amazing figure. And you should definitely go to Facebook and check out the Good Smile page because, well, Curtin did a bunch of bits in Japanese if you find the Japanese one, but if you have a little bit of Japanese knowledge like I do, you can make it out. But yeah, it is a gorgeous figure, just very rainbowy and very, you know, like the Miku blue, you know, it's gorgeous. I also found out that they have a Magical Girl Snow Miku this week, and it's been out for quite some time, but it's an android, which I'm very happy about, just Nendroids in general, because they're adorable. Also, I talked about these earlier, the Parfum figures that are like thighs for days. Huh. They've started to release a few more versions recently, or just a few more characters. And I gotta admit, they're like grown-up Nendroids, and they're looking pretty goddamn good. So check those out, again, on the Good Smile page. I think, I don't remember what manufacturer they are, but definitely check them out. Sorry to, again, hijack the podcast, but I really like anime figures.
That's totally fine. Man, I just looked up this news story and I completely fucking forgot it.
Look on your history? Or nope, just hit backspace?
I can't be asked. Also, I feel a sneeze coming on.
Bless you! Holy shit!
The audio spike.
Oh man, you should keep that sneeze in, though.
Okay, fair enough, so you guys can hear how I sneeze. Oh, I remember what I want to talk about. So...
Sneeze like your dad.
We've all been interested in... I say we all, but most of us...
But John's who, been interested in...
Participate in the Dapper Shark podcast of some in some capacity.
So John, like... Anyway.
We all like Pulsar.
Mm-hmm.
And Pulsar just received
except
a new...
James?
Except James, I think, yeah. James being the only exception. We all like Pulsar. It's a game where you... take the role of either a crew member on a starship or the captain of a starship, and you try to make it in the universe. And you can die a lot. Very frequently.
I frequently die. I am the most dead member on the crew.
Yeah, that's probably true. They just had an update, and it's the Fluffy Biscuit Co. update.
Good heavens, it's really funny.
I'm really excited. They took the time to make this whole commerce system and a company... that you have to, like, vie for power in.
It's definitely a goofy, like...
And it's selling side... buttery biscuits.
Yep, you sell biscuits, which are... They, had a brief, like, mention in the game up to now, where you're buying biscuits, and they're healing items. And they're just kind of goofy, you know, like, the original biscuit, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like I say, it's just a really goofy add-on, and I just love that they keep adding on to the game. It's... just wonderful.
And I'm going to put the trailer in the show notes for you guys, but just the way that they speak is so earnest that you can tell that they genuinely care about
and
this game.
Yeah, they still love their game. It's pretty, not like old, but it's, you know.
It's been out for a couple years now.
Since at least our second year of dating. That's how I gauge things. But yeah, at least a couple years. Closer to probably.
Yeah, it's not actually a release version yet. I might... need to say that
and
for
you,
people.
Yeah, honestly,
and you can tell.
You can tell. I wish, God, their fucking UI. I'm sorry, guys, but you really gotta get on that, because I have a hard time understanding where things are, and that's why I'm garbage as a captain.
That's why I take the captain role, because I'm used to menus like that, which fucking sucks.
Yeah. And I kind of wish things were a little bit more clear, but they finally updated where your talent points don't erase every time you log on.
Yeah,
I wish
nice.
That people had a little less butterface, but...
Yeah, but I'm willing to forgive aesthetics in, yeah, I know how you feel about aesthetics, but I'm willing to, overlook the look of a game if the gameplay is solid.
Which, even in beta, it does have a lot of potential to get better, but yes, it's already pretty goddamn solid.
Yeah.
Like, if the game had to release right now, and people were okay without good aesthetics and menu design, this would be pretty good.
Well, the fact that this game also has VR support, really, I think, cool, it kind of elevates it a little bit. Even with the current graphical quality, that for VR is actually really good.
My beef with it is that I have no idea what the point of combat is and the progression. You know? Like, just what you're fighting for. What are we fighting for?
It depends on the faction that you choose. You know what? I'm gonna get in-depth in this game, because I like this game a lot.
And I kind of, like, just jumped into it not knowing any of this shit. So,
there are several factions in the game. There is the Alliance of Gentlemen.
Which is also a funny name.
The pirate group, basically.
That's funny, because I read a manga called Gentleman's Alliance.
My brain just completely shut down there for a second.
Alliance of Gentlemen?
Yeah. They're the pirate group. Like, I guess I shouldn't feel like I need to explain this, but they're the ones who steal things and sell their ships.
I mean, that's about it. Like, that's what pirates do.
Like,
Kaizukun or Kaizokuni. Orewan naru.
I like that show. Anyway, yeah. So they shut down ships and they loot them and they take parts. They blow ships up just to get parts.
You can board ships, which is super cool.
You can board ships and take them over.
And you set things on fire. You can extinguish things.
Yeah. I mean, there's component damage. The Alliance of Gentlemen aside, there is the WD Corporation, which is this weapons manufacturer corporation. They're always about, we need the new tech and stuff, and we need to make military contracts with these other two places. I wonder if they're going to have Fluffy Biscuit alliances, too. Then there's the... There's a corporation Yeah, it's like the government. And they're a faction as well that you can play for, and you're the Galaxy Police, and you constantly get updated with these missions that you have to do, and you have to go through regular inspections.
I want them to do kind of a Elite Dangerous kind of thing. Just mostly, like, the tight, like, inventory kind of thing. Because there's a lot of potential for that. Just to get it a little bit clearer, you know?
Yeah. I don't really like... Well, like, that comes back to their UI. I don't really like the way that they have their UI. I do like the visual representation of the items, like, in the cargo hold and stuff. That's nice.
And the fact that if you don't have an item, your cargo is empty, you know?
Yep.
Like, that particular bay. I do wish, and maybe this is because I don't understand it because I'm a doofus, but I wish it was a little clearer on how to get programs and, I guess, like, execute them.
Okay, so this is very complicated, but I do really like this system. As a science officer... technically anyone can do it, but science officers are the ones that actually get bonuses and stuff to it. The captain can do any role, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But the science officer can run viruses or programs on your ship or against enemy ships to disable or steal credits or to run antiviruses or to boost systems on your ships. And it's super helpful. It can turn the tide of battle or just make you a pretty penny. There have been times where I played the game single player, which is actually...
Are you the captain or are you...
Yeah, you have to be the captain in single player. But I'm playing the game single player a couple times, and just to kind of learn what's new in the game, and
which is a good way to do it because it's a little more low key.
Yeah, I will frequently start running a credit siphon on even friendly ships because I'm playing as one of the free trader factions, which is basically you're not aligned with anyone, which means that you're not aligned with anyone.
But can you gain? You can gain points.
You can gain reputation with anyone.
But you don't. You're not aligned with them.
Yeah. And higher reputation with them means they're less likely to attack you, mind you. But, you know, it doesn't guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the whole program's idea is good. I just, maybe for me, I wish it was a little clearer.
Well, you have to install them at shipyards, which is really stupid because they're programs.
oh yeah, you should just be able to research them, and you're good. Yeah. That's what I see with the science officer. They're writing the code, or they're discovering the code, or whatever.
They also have to do the research that gives you, skills and stuff. So, the science officer actually has quite a lot to do, but they don't always have anything to do.
Mm-hmm. I feel like any other person, like, maybe just the engineer and the captain should be able to do it.
Honestly, of all the roles, I think the engineer is probably the most boring role.
No, the pilot.
Unless it's during combat.
The pilot.
Really?
During combat, that's the thing. The engineer just hops on a gun. Pilot can't fucking hop on a gun.
No, but the pilot has to... You're supposed to be dodging shots or providing better angles for the ships that are zooming around.
I do that, unless you're fucking Eric and you fucking fire a really powerful gun and you knock us into a fucking crater, asteroid.
So because you're in space, sometimes there are overly powerful weapons with a lot of kickback that can actually cause you to spin your ship.
Mm-hmm.
And,
God damn it.
That can be detrimental in combat.
I was gonna say he kind of can do. It's kind of good during combat because if I need to dodge something, a lot of times he'll make me go. I say like this as I wave my hand on the audio.
He'll make you dodge by firing in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't always bad. I'm getting better at the whole dodging shots, but not always.
Yeah,
that's okay though. You'll get there. But yeah, that's my only beef. Now, wasn't there one more role besides science and engineering? Besides science
engineering. There's weapons.
I was forgetting something, but...
Yeah, there's pilot, weapons, engineer, science, and captain.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a pretty good balance, but the science officer, I feel like, has too much on their plate.
And I feel like the engineer doesn't have enough, unless, like, your systems are taking damage and they have to go, like, I have to go put out 6 different fires and there's only one of me.
What do you think about maybe... Well, the engineer repairs, too, right?
Like, yeah, they're
everybody
in charge,
can repair, but...
But the engineer's the best at it. And they get perks for it.
Engineer and weapons should get those. Maybe the engineer or the weapons will just, like, be able to repair, like, guns, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I like the idea that everyone can do stuff, but aren't specialized in anything. Because it makes any role unique, but not necessary.
It would be kind of cool if, Guns of Icarus had a little bit, like, just a few more, even just one more class. Because you get the choice between 3. Captain, engineer, and...
And weapons.
And weapons.
That's it.
I don't think those are the names. But if there was one that was... I don't know what else you'd have is the thing. Maybe lookout? But I don't know if that's...
That's the thing, like, that could be filled by either role, though.
What other role would you have?
I mean, for an airship, it's a little bit different. Particularly the way that Guns of Icarus functions, you can't really have more roles than that.
Yeah, and because having 2 engineers is good, and having 2 gunners is good, but...
Now, in a game like Black Wake, where it's basically the pirate equivalent of Guns of Icarus, except you can board other ships and kill them.
That you should be able to do in Guns of Icarus, absolutely.
That
and that's another one
wonderful.
With fucking Butterface characters.
Because guess what? Then you'd have a fucking reason to have more than 3 roles. You'd have boarding party, you'd have scouts, you'd have cannoneers, you'd have grenadiers.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have all these different roles, and it opens up your gameplay style. Maybe you have someone who's good on a ballista, not on a cannon.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah, I just kind of wish... I don't know. I have a lot of wishes, but that's the thing with Guns of Icarus. Yeah, you got 3 things, and maybe that is better. I really want to play that some more. I've been kind
of
missing it.
As of right now, the game is actually... By the time you guys hear it, it won't be anymore. But right now, it's actually free. Mm-hmm. You can get a copy for free on Humble Bundle?
Mm-hmm. I feel like that should only be for, like, the free games. Am I being elitist by saying it should be for Humble subscribers?
I mean, a little.
Okay.
I think a free game should be for everyone.
That's fair.
I mean, if it was one thing, like, if you're paying a subscription and you get it because of that, it's not a free game.
You know,
it's a perk.
That's fair. That's fair. I feel like you should talk about games that you get on the monthly every once in a while. Like, just go through the list.
This month, because the day that you're hearing this will be the last couple of days that you can get this.
Just the ones you really like.
This month it's Elder Scrolls Online, Quake Live... not Quick Live, sorry, Quake Champions, and the Elder Scrolls card game, which the name of it escapes me at the moment.
Gwent! Oh, wait.
No. And there's going to be more games coming out for it, too. There's still four games to release for this month that you don't know every game in the bundle until the end of the month. That's the whole reason that they get you. It's like, it's kind of like a loot box, but also you get to know one of the games to see if you want it this month.
Mm-hmm. Now, we already have ESO, both of us.
Well, yeah, but that's how I got it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I already have... Oh, really? Oh, I'm so sorry. I already had it. I think.
No, you didn't have it.
No, I had to buy it. Duh. Okay, I'm good. I'm good.
We're both really out of it, if you can't tell, guys.
I keep fucking yawning, and it's really contagious, because I can't fucking stop. I'm contagious. Like, if John opens his mouth and just looks at me, I sure
can't. I just did it to her. Anyway.
Talk a little bit.
I do want to say I like the Humble Bundle. I like the Humble Monthly Bundle still. Even though they just got bought by IGN, which if they change their business practices, I will be quitting it entirely.
That's absolute bullshit. Fucking bullshit.
You know what? You want to talk about fucking Dana Carvey?
That made me so sad. He's relatively funny. But on SNL? Absolutely. But his stand-up, he's old. He's not funny. I don't know if getting old makes him not funny, but
yes.
He clung to that fucking bullshit bit. Watch the first 10 minutes of it, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
It got so irritating. Not because, okay, I have literally uttered the phrase, bunch of fucking bullshit. So that's fun. That's fine. It's completely okay.
For the first 4 times.
Yes.
Not the first 40.
If you keep saying a joke, you know what happens with a joke? It sure does get funnier, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? John?
And when that's your only joke for at least a couple of minutes, it gets real fucking old. It's like, millennials, all they say is, bunch of fucking bullshit. Okay, that's great. It's also true. I get it. Ha ha. Good. Next joke, please. Bunch of fucking bullshit.
Well, exactly, yeah. Like, move the ever-loving fuck on.
I'm willing to forgive a lot in comedy, particularly when it's true.
Because it is a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Because it is a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Everything is.
You're right, Dana Carvey. We do say bunch of fucking bullshit. Look what's going on in the fucking world.
I'd prefer to not die.
It's a bunch of fucking bullshit.
In nuclear war. Like, please no. Nobody deserves that. Especially Japan, but nobody deserves that.
They already had theirs.
Yeah, they did, and they're already dealing with Fukushima. No, let's not talk about that. Fucking everything terrifies me, you guys. Like, nuclear war, South Korea. No, I'm sorry, North Korea.
And now, for the end of our spoopy podcast, we're going to leave you with the most terrifying thought.
Dying.
No.
Fucking yes.
No.
Okay, living through it.
No.
Yes.
No.
What's spooky?
You want to know the spookiest thing that's going on right now?
Kim Jong-un.
And so you guys know, I plan to end on this note.
Okay, wait. I just want to mention that I saw a doctored photo where somebody showed a picture of Kim Jong-un, but then showed him doctored to look thinner, and he actually looks like a villain when he's thinner. Anyway, go on. Look up that meme.
Our president's Donald Trump. Good night, everybody.